With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Always look on the bright side of life, everybody. Italy get their comeuppance and Newcastle get their fairy tale prince. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 7th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Vidushina Hantaraja.
Yes, forget the final of the Euros, everybody. This is what really matters. Isn't it, Brass? This means more.
It is. Do you know why? Because it was at the San Siro.
Ah.
Yeah. That's why it means more.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I think you can look at Italian football on from one perspective in a sort of infrastructure sort of way, in that it's all sort of beat up and tired and, you know, needs work and all the rest of it. Maybe Roberto Mancini is the man to lead that, just as he did on the field. But it's just when you walk up to the San Siro for the first time, and you see just the silhouette of it. It is the greatest silhouette in world football. It's magnificent. And you can forgive all the other stuff, like the crappy Wi-Fi and all that other stuff that could do with work, because it is just the San Siro.
And they went there and they got turned over, the little slugs, didn't they?
They did.
That's come to our home and make a mockery of our game. You're going to get your comeuppance.
I reckon they got a little bit of vertigo, you know. It's like, oh God, this is where we didn't qualify for the last World Cup against Sweden.
It's not the same at all, but I felt a bit like that when I went to the London Stadium quite a long time after it became that rather than the Olympic Stadium.
Right.
And you could still see little bits of the paint from London 2012. This was like long after it became a football stadium.
Napoli fans are laughing, going like 2 years ago, we had Italia 90 stickers on our stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Move on from that. So yeah, Spain, they were wicked, weren't they? They were so good. 2-1 final score at the San Siro. A couple of goals from Ferran Torres and a little, we call it a consolation? I guess it looked as though they could do something with it when Pellegrini scored, but down to 10 men. Leonardo Bonucci sent off. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
We're and so I'm petty.
I'm so completely over
it. We are so
it.
Petty. I love it.
Are we?
No, because, I think it's a pretty massive thing.
I am so petty. I love it. I am so petty.
The thing is, though, on the red card, just quickly, this is not the main point of the game, but he did in the slow-mo, you know how sometimes the slow-mo looks way worse than the actual situation? It didn't look worse particularly, but in the slow-mo, you could see Bonucci levelling up, like eyeing up what he was about to do to Sergio Busquets, which is a straight red, no?
Well, it did look
forget a second yellow.
I know it was the elbow, but it was a very yellow card elbow, and it takes that
elbow to the neck.
Yeah, but in terms of like the force, it was a measure of Bonucci's shithousery that he's been able to find different levels to an elbow.
It was a lean, not a swing.
Yes.
I suppose is the best way of putting it.
Subtle.
But the thing is...
A mid-air lean.
you think you can get away with that if you've not been carded before. But it's just utter stupidity.
Yeah.
Also, descent is... I mean, I know that's like the softest yellow, kind of, but it's a bit fucking stupid because it just puts you in the mind of the ref as being this horrible...
Look out for me for the rest of the game.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously his game started with that incredible goal line clearance. Did you see that? Like the hip mobility of the man. A terrible gauge of behaviour.
The dexterity was incredible. Wasn't it?
So is this what international football is like now? Because I used to find
really good.
Quite tedious. Yeah, and then you obviously had the Euros, and maybe it's just the Euros. Maybe it's kind of everyone coming out of a pandemic and really expressing themselves. And that game yesterday was brilliant. You know,
chaotic.
Those first 40 minutes were stunning,
They were.
But yeah, Federico Chiesa for the start was just... This is how, I suppose, how much of a loser I am. In that I saw that and I thought, well, just the way he was playing, the way he's got like a Mario Kart way about him. He'll bounce off a player and get quicker. It's a remarkable thing. But I was thinking, I was watching him, I was like, please don't ever get a bad injury.
Yes.
Because... You play with such robustness and speed that like, oh no, these are all like, you know, natural gifts or physical gifts rather that are going to, you know, hopefully not dim in you know, the years to come. But yeah, he was remarkable. He really set it off. And then, Spain just scored that outrageous opener.
I'm not going to be able to watch him without imagining him like sort of flicking little coins up in the air.
Yeah.
To power up.
Yeah, he should have.
That's extraordinary observation, actually, Vish.
He should have been booked when he threw a green turtle under Pedri. But, you know, what are you going to do?
He definitely inks the defenders in the face.
Yes, he does.
Before speeding through, doesn't he?
Maybe that explains the way that everyone, and justifies, I guess, the way. I thought it was incredible the way that Spain were just swarming them. Every time, especially him, had the ball, they were just all over Italy after the first, 20?
Should we get the Gavi bit over with?
Yes, please.
Because it is just remarkable. This guy's played like a couple of games for Barcelona, comes in and plays like he's played for Spain for 10 years.
So he's
it was
17 years and 62 days.
Youngest ever player to play for Spain.
Youngest ever
player. I'm twice as old as him.
Oh, sorry, Vish. We're all old.
I'm not supposed to be.
How do you think Sergio Busquets feels?
That's a good point, yeah. Is that my son? What?
Anybody listening who's younger than Gabby, please write it and share at Football Ramble.
Yeah, no, they would do that, but they would legitimately have to ask their parents first. That's the level we're talking about here. They would have to ask the bill payer's permission to send an email.
No, if you're 17, but you can like get married and drive, can't you? Surely you're allowed to send emails.
Maybe in your part of England.
Yeah, we only marry our cousins.
there was that story, wasn't there, in the German papers last weekend that Jude Bellingham had been left out of the England squad after his parents had got onto Gareth Southgate and said he needs a rest.
Oh, really?
That
is proper, your mum writing you a note to get out of
games
gym
cheer, yeah.
Sort of business.
I thought Gareth Southgate handled that really well. And he had everything managed and was thinking about the development of the player.
Oh, yeah, he is. But go back and listen to it again with what I've just told you in mind and it doesn't contradict any of it. it's just that Gareth Southgate is so erudite that he's managed to skate around that very skillfully.
The thing about this Gary appearance is, how long was he on for? 75 minutes in the end, something like that. And I read that's longer than he's appeared for either Barca or Barca B.
Yeah, I saw that as well. It's remarkable. But also, like, credit to Luis Enrique for just having the gumption to be like, yeah, you know what? Go. Get out there, youngin. Yeah.
He said afterwards, didn't he? It's an absolute pleasure to watch him play. He said, I've never seen anything like it. And I think it kind of puts, I don't want to go back onto Barcelona again, but I think you have to give it a little nod. The fact that when you think they've had him, they've had Pedri, they've had Ansu Fati, who of course has been injured. So there's something, just one thing, mind you, that is working very, very, very well at Barcelona. And where would they be if they hadn't totally fucked it by wasting all that money on Coutinho and Griezmann and Dembélé.
But, you know, just from the age profile of those players that you mentioned, presumably there was a worry that basically the bracket above them wasn't coming through.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Is that the case? Which is why they spunk so much money on Dembélé as well, yeah.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think when you're coming out of a generation with Xavi and Iniesta, you're like, it's a bit like, I don't know, the Australian cricket team moving on after 2005. You know, you're never going to get that level again, is what you're telling yourself. You know, it's an exceptional generation.
And they're never going to get that level again. Even...
What, Australia? What? Yeah, fuck them. Turn them over with a third string this winter.
But then it's too early to say, of course, with Pedri and Gavi and Ansu Fati, but there is something undeniably special about them. It would be ridiculous to say they can be as good as Xavi and Iniesta and that generation of players.
And someone else you've missed.
But they're and someone else I've missed. But they're going to be, you know, injury notwithstanding, they're going to be something pretty special, right?
And they're going to, I suppose, so all of this chaos at Barcelona is actually just a great benefit to Barcelona in a sense, because they wouldn't have been, like you're saying with Dembele, they wouldn't have been given the chance to necessary.
It's the opening bit of the new book, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
you know, apart from the fact they've already had to sell Elias Moriba because they haven't got any money.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, that's the next thing for them, isn't it? Where they get to that point where they have to sell the young'uns that they don't want to sell. I mean, it's one thing, like, sort of, you know,
because they're trying to get rid of the ones Griezmann that no one else wants. Yeah,
but
you can't.
Yeah, this is different.
Steve Bruce coming in with a power play early on.
Yeah, because it'll definitely be Steve Bruce. Yeah.
We will get to that. Steve Al Bruce.
Steve.
I bet Alan is his middle name.
Yeah. Sorry, Bruce.
Crown Brucey himself. So Ferran Torres yesterday, what's the opposite of an audition where you're showing someone what they've missed? I'm trying to think of like a film equivalent where someone didn't get a role and they nailed something else. But basically, you know, when City start Grealish, not up front, but nominally in the centre of that three against Liverpool and obviously struggled, and you've got Ferran Torres coming in and scoring. Just the manner of those goals as well. Even the right little shinner to contort your body in that way and get it into the corner was a remarkable feat. And I know, you know,
I love a looping header. It sort of had a little curve on it,
That was a proper striker's header. It's back brilliant. Pass.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
But you're right, Kate. That not just scoring,
yeah, the cross,
but making the goalkeeper know you can't get this.
Yeah,
it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're right. It's the most two of the most strikerish goals you will ever see, and we know that Pep Guardiola and Luis Enrique have been having this discussion for absolutely ages about, you know what, he is a striker. He's not a false nine. He's not a winger. He's a striker. He's got all these strikerish instincts. And the idea that he has to be, you know, built like Fernando Torres or built like Diego Costa, you know, he can be a different type of centre forward and still authentically a centre forward. And they both believe that.
I loved it. I really enjoyed that game. Spain.
Same.
Didn't get revenge for their defeat in the Euros 2020 semi-final.
But they embarrassed their tormentors at home.
They did.
And
they
that's pretty good.
And they get to the Nations League final and no one can take that away from them.
I think the players care about it. I think it's a deal.
Luis Enrique's celebrations when the second goal went in were pretty wild. Yeah. They reminded me that something was on this game. Yeah.
And on the note about Italy, they brought Italy's 37 match unbeaten run to an end. And the tiny car also made its long-awaited return, which is probably the...
So who owns the tiny car now? Is he just going about independently?
I think he wears...
He or she.
I think they wear different livery depending on what they're up to, but I think...
But is it the same little car just rebranded?
Oh, it's a great question. I imagine there'd be a fleet. No, but there's a different guy in Gunnosaurus every time these
days. That's what I mean, yeah. Is it a different little car?
Yeah. Oh, it's a different borrower driving it.
It needs to be themed now. Now, what they should have used last night is, I think, a little Lambretta. And I think once you get to Turin,
a little Vespa.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And once you, I know you're on board with that.
I'm totally on board with that.
Once you get to Turin, it has to be a Mini Cooper, doesn't it? After the Italian job,
yeah.
Maybe a little fleet of them chasing each other around like shitting gold bars.
And then Federico Chiesa comes in his little maracot and bumps it off and steals the ball.
Do you remember which game of the Euros it was, but when that little tiny ball fell out of the car or out of the ball and was just like zipping around on the pitch?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just imagining that with the gold bars.
It was like a little snooker ball.
It was like a little eight ball.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't want to be trying to enforce that sort of stuff. Italy wearing the lightest shirt of all time, incorporating revolutionary ultra weave technology, but it looked heavy on the night.
just a team that have just been so comfortable with their bodies for so long. They're just pushing the boundaries now. They're first with the Kappa stuff, and they're going to wear, like, you know, the see-through kind of sheer football shirt next.
I can't wait. Are we going to this DJ set by Mandietta in London later in October?
It's all indie, isn't it?
All right, not really your scene.
Oh yeah, he's a massive indie head, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
is that a Spanish thing? Because Mata used to blog. Mata every now and again would give like an indie review.
Yeah, well Jeze is a reggaeton star, isn't he? So it's not exclusively indie amongst like Spanish footballers.
Okay.
Although whether you can describe Jeze as a footballer anymore is a different question, right?
Sounds like you could be tempted. Then I'll be up for this. I always like get my horizons widened.
But by listening to the editors and Coldplay, yeah, that really widened my horizons.
Yeah. For listeners at home, I'm giving Brussels a finger. Chelsea 3, Wolfsburg 3. Pernilla Harder with the last, I think it was in the last minute of stoppage time, the equaliser for Chelsea. Chelsea dominated the early parts of the game. And then a couple of big mistakes from Anne Katchenberger, really, for two of the Wolfsburg goals, Vish.
Carter fucked up for a couple of them as well. Yeah.
But final score 3-3. Would you say that's an adequate reflection of the balance of the game? It was wild.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that everything Wolfsburg got was given to them by Chelsea. Although weirdly, there still had to be some like, very good finishes among that.
Mm. But the Jill Rhodes,
Jill Rhodes was even the
even though that was a total cock up.
Yeah, you know,
playing out from the back, but directly straight down the middle.
But both of those Rasmus finishes are really good as
well.
Yeah,
the second
even
one
if
was
she
brilliant.
Was
yeah.
Presented with them. Because it looked like the chance for the first one had got away, but she realised what was happening between the defender and the goalkeeper really quickly and then just realised she had to lurch and toe poke it. The second finish is magnificent.
Yeah.
But yeah, they still had to be good enough to take advantage of that. But it was almost like it was a product of Chelsea being too comfortable because at the beginning of that game, that was so imperious, Chelsea. It was like, yeah, it's the changing of the guard now. Mm. You used to be up there, but it's us now. It's going to be us now. We're going to take it on from losing the final last year. The manner of the Sam Kerr goal, it was just, we are so much better than you.
Yeah.
It was an incredible finish. And they were just too comfortable.
Yeah.
And then they gave Wolfsburg that little bit of light, which they took with both hands.
There was a point where you realise at the end of the second half, the end of the first half into the second half, where Wolfsburg realised we're not playing particularly well, but they're making a lot of mistakes, so we can just up our intensity and put that much more pressure on them because they're winning the ball up. You know, obviously for Ruud's goal, it was just like an astonishing oversight from the goalkeeper to see, you know, the player being shut down and still passing the ball. But it was also spoke of, it was interesting seeing Emma Hayes clearly very frustrated on the side, but it really spoke of, I suppose, how you'd need your players on the field to think differently in circumstances. Just because you've told them one thing and you've built up play in a certain way, they kept insisting on playing out the back, despite the fact that Wolfsburg had, you know, not only cottoned on to how they needed to press them, but the players they were passing to in the Chelsea back line were quite low on confidence at that point because they'd been battered and they'd been burned before. So it just needed a little bit more forethought, I thought.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching it on the stream as well. I don't know, did you guys watch the episode one, We All Rise,
at half time, yeah.
I was a bit soppy about that, to be honest. I found it quite like, I don't know, even the ads made me quite like weepy about everything. You know, there's like period ads in the middle of the football and there's like stuff about Dulwich Hamlet's having a football team and
And he does period puns, yeah. I was watching it with my partner and she was like, what the fuck, they do those?
It's like, useful stuff to market to 50% of the population, you fucking geniuses. Whoever thought about that? Yeah. Enjoyable all round.
I mean, it's an interesting season, isn't it, for the Women's Champions League, because you've got this whole group stage. And it's weird because in one way it's the step up to getting closer to parity with the Men's Champions League than there was before. It feels like it's more important with a dedicated TV deal where everyone can see it, and that's super important, and that people being able to absorb it is really important. But on the other hand, I just felt this little bit of, oh yeah, imagine if this was like a knockout game. Imagine if this was the first leg of a knockout game. So swings and roundabouts, I guess.
That's true. It'll come later.
Yeah, exactly.
This particular fixture, probably.
Yeah.
Also, sticking with the women's game, last night in the National Women's Soccer League, NWSL, in the US, three games stopped after 6 minutes. And it was hard to tell what was going on in the footage that I saw initially. But then it was kind of an amazing moment. Every single person involved with the game came onto the pitch, made a circle together in the centre circle to, I suppose, how would you put it, to show solidarity about some of the allegations that have been made against sexual misconduct allegations, basically against Paul Riley, who has coached Portland Thorns in the past and was the coach of North Carolina Courage. And this has had a big impact, the way that these allegations have come out. This has had a big impact on the NWSL, including all the games being halted at the weekend. And I think people just, it's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of players starting to speak out about some of the things that they've endured from people in power in the game. Is that the way you guys see it, Brass?
Yeah, and it unfortunately it is the tip of the iceberg, and not just in the women's game. I mean, it's a story that people might not be super aware of over here, but Gudni Bergsson and the entire board of the Icelandic Football Federation resigned last month over allegations that they were covering up a sexual misconduct allegation over one of their players. And it's something that's really rocked Icelandic football, but I guess they're on the first step to dealing with it. But it shows how widespread it is, how much needs to change. And this was a strange feeling seeing this in the US, because it was so inspiring. It was a real lump in the throat moment when you saw it. But at the same time, you're like, why has it got to be this hard for women to play football? It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. But it's the first step to people saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore. And people elsewhere, like in Iceland, have to say, we're not going to put up with this anymore as well.
Yeah, one of the things that I took away from it this morning, the NWSL tweeted the actual the clip of it happening. So a lot of the people, right, a lot of the tweets that are going around at the moment with the video are from the official NWSL account.
That feels like something.
Yeah, that does. But there's also this thing of, you know, women's football in America is huge. And I know that, you know, continental Europe and the UK are catching up, and I suppose, you know, with the Women's Super League, it's, you could say it's taking it to a new level and perhaps even further. But in terms of people regarded as celebrities outright beyond the sport, nothing comes close to US women's football. And so there is a sense that, as Kate mentioned, that this has gone on a while, and as you said, it is the tip of the iceberg, that if they didn't have that profile, none of this would have really come to light. We should say that the Athletic's Meg Linehan, who broke the story, I suppose, yes, it had such a dramatic effect that it wasn't so much of people being like, oh God, this is actually going on. It was quite a few players basically off the back of that saying, oh shit, finally, people are actually listening to us about this. Because there was a, you know, complaint made about Riley in 2015 that didn't get picked up on. There are loads of things historically that are now being brought up to rectify, but also, I suppose, to punish people for. And none of the circumstances have changed. It's just that it's out in the open. I thought it was quite telling last week as well, the Chelsea players, I think Magda Eriksson came out and said that she was, they were all not horrified by it, but hurt by it. The idea that the people are, you know, people at teams where they're supposed to be looked after because they just want to play a game are being taken advantage of in this way. And there are massive parallels, I think, to the US gymnastics scandal that kind of escalated, you know, to a point in terms of it wasn't so much just one person. It was the way it was not just brushed under a carpet, but, you know, they closed the curtains on the entire investigation altogether. Mm. So we're going to hear a lot. People with bad views, I'll say, might see the coming months as people wanting their pound of flesh, but really it's just people finally being listened to. Yeah,
it's people finding the opportunity to speak out, and that's, as you referenced,
and the strength as well, we should say,
and the support also. Yeah, it's hard to be the first person to say this stuff, and especially if you, as you point out, if you don't have the profile of some of these guys. That's why in the Athletic thing is so important that Simone Biles was, you know, one of the main people to speak out. So, yeah, the league commissioner, Lisa Baird, has resigned, and I'm sure there's going to be lots more of this to come, sadly, but positively as well, I suppose, as Vish says. Okay, let's now get to a break, and then we're going to come on to Newcastle after this.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Clash of the Titles is the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it better. Join Alexane Christilli and Vicky Crompton as they celebrate Halloween with a month of Stephen King films. Kicking off this month of King versus King, it's The Shining versus Dr. Sleep.
We also get this amazing shot of Wendy and Danny lost in the maze and the camera stalking them and Jack looking down at this model of the maze. The lengths that Kubrick went to make it feel like, is Jack controlling this maze? Is this maze Jack's mind?
Search Clash of the Titles on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Nutmeg, cinnamon, and half a teaspoon of salt. And now the special bit is it's going to have quite a lot of booze.
Where are you? Let's be having you! Come on!
Oh, Delia. Oh, we need her on a ramble meet. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Vish, and Brass with you today. And now it's time for your emails.
Oh yeah, guitar solo.
Oh, every time. I've got an email from David Aspinall with a belated entry for our thread of listeners selling things to people in football. I used to work at a golf club and hotel near Liverpool, where a lot of the Premier League teams used to stay before playing one of Everton or Liverpool. One night it was Arsenal's turn. A lad called Stewart just died, and although he was lovely, his tastes in food and drink were a bit limited. So when a green tea was ordered for then Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger, he was a bit flummoxed as to what to serve it with. As such, he sent out a little jug of cold milk to go alongside the drink.
Oh, thoughtful.
When we found out what was happening, we watched through some nearby glass as the usually urbane Frenchman looked perplexed at the strange accompaniment. Assuming this was a normal thing, Wenger poured the milk into his cup and took a bit of a drink. Needless to say, he was not impressed and the drink was returned and a new one was made. And this is the man in charge with looking after the World Cup. I mean, I was going to say, it's not your mate's fault. If you order a green tea, you know not to put milk in it.
That is baffling, because that almost suggests, well, we'll go to our green tea correspondent, Antique Brassel, in a moment, but...
Did you call him Antique Brassel?
Is that very respectful or incredibly disrespectful? I can't quite work it out.
But it suggests that Wenger was ordering something that he knew nothing about. He just saw it on the menu and was like...
Thought, well, I'm away from home. Try something a bit exotic when in Rome.
Is green tea a thing in France?
It is at Peckham Town after I went there.
Well, there you go, yeah. But would Wenger have come across it before he came over here?
You'd hope so.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Actually, fuck it. Yeah, he was culinary in Japan, wasn't he?
Culinary capital
from Japan.
From Japan.
Yeah.
He probably invented this stuff. Maybe he just thought it was a novel application and he didn't want to offend the waiter.
We've got one from Dave here on the subject of long-distance away journeys. I had the misfortune of being one of the Arsenal fans who flew to Baku for the Europa League final to watch us get spanked by Chelsea 4-1. We had a rather jovial evening the night before the main square of Baku with the other foolish Arsenal fans who'd made the trip where I dropped my wallet. Fortunately, it transpired it was handed in to a nearby policeman who found me and gave it back. The memory of this event, though, was somewhat a blur, so I was shocked to discover 2 days later, hungover after the spanking and gearing up for a 1 a.m. flight home from Moscow, I received a Facebook message from a random Azerbaijani woman telling me that the police had my ID. Mm-hmm. I assured her they didn't, as I'd got it back. She replied by sending me a link to the Azerbaijani state TV channel's Instagram, which had 3 photos of me and my mate negotiating with the police to give me my wallet back, which in my drunken haze I had failed to remember was in front of TV cameras, which recorded the whole event and me showing them I was who I said I was. The final picture was my driving license with my full address.
Oh, God.
Broadcast for all of Azerbaijan to see. When I DM'd the channel to ask them to remove the photo with my full address on, I received an email 2 hours later from a producer simply saying, fuck. I didn't hear back, but on touching down back in London, saw the picture had hit 75,000 views. Rest assured, I may think twice about travelling to former Soviet republics for Arsenal away trips should we ever find ourselves in Europe again.
That is incredible. I mean, 75,000 views, take the likes, but yeah, that's...
Dave hasn't included his surname on that email. Which I'm sad about, because I thought we were going to get down to an Azerbaijani house party in the next
I'm on the Insta already.
Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble to get in touch. We love hearing from you. Newcastle fans, congratulations, nearly, or probably as this show goes out, it looks as though you have a new owner. Mike Ashley, we may be in the sort of death throes, if you will, of Mike Ashley's 14-year ownership of Newcastle United. Although I should say we have thought that before. Saudi Arabia. Let me sum it up for my hopefully intellectual resources here. Basically, Saudi Arabia had banned beIN Sports from operating in its country. Instead, the main broadcaster of Premier League was effectively this thing, BeOutQ, which was a stolen stream of beIN Sports with just the little logo of BeOutQ plastered over the beIN Sports logo.
How did they come up with that one?
It's quite funny. Piracy aside, I just mean it's quite an overt and hilarious way to do it if you are going to do such things. This was a problem clearly for the Premier League, because one of the main ways, as we talked about on Tuesday, that the Premier League has made so much money is because they're able to sell their rights for lots and lots of money. And piracy is obviously a crime. You wouldn't steal a car.
People do, though.
It's a great point. That appears to have been resolved to the satisfaction of the Premier League and of beIN Sports. Saudi Arabia says it's going to be available in their country. And this, it seems to be, is the final hurdle to getting this deal over the line.
Now, there are the reports that have said that the public investment fund has proved that it's separate to the Saudi state. To the satisfaction of the Premier League owners and directors test. I mean, that's very much a small print at the bottom. I think we all know what this is really about, don't we? And as soon as this dispute between the Saudis and beIN was cleared up, it was likely to happen, wasn't it? Mm. So, I can understand why a lot of people are absolutely reviled by this. I can understand why a lot of people don't care less about this and just want their club to get out of the grip of Mike Ashley. And I understand why there are people. Well, before we get on to inevitabilities, and I understand why there are some people that are somewhere in the middle. As someone who knows and loves and lives in the region, I don't feel great about it. I also understand that it's not just the Mike Ashley thing. And when you put like 14 years of Mike Ashley, I mean, that is
kind of a lot of years.
Yeah, it's a long time for not only for your club to have no ambition,
yeah,
but absolutely no hope at all. And when that's such a central part of the city's life, to be told that that means nothing basically on a daily basis is painful. I can understand why a lot of supporters of Newcastle would say how they would find it hard to connect with something that's happening in a world outside their comprehension. And I know we can talk about them, you know, there's all the bants on social about them buying Kylian Mbappe and all the rest of it. I mean, it seems that rather than spunking a load of cash on players, there's actually plans to do something with the infrastructure of the club, which is old and tired and needs attention and has had no attention. Now, really, what we've been seeing from Newcastle on the pitch over recent years, for a lot of people who don't know the club and don't know the region, is the be-all and end-all. The fact that Mike Ashley has neglected the team. They used to be in the Champions League and play exciting football, and now they're a bit of shit and they're existing rather than living. But really, that's only a little part of it. The neglect of the club is far deeper than that. All I would say, there are a lot of reasons to find this move absolutely repellent, and we're going to talk about those. All I would say is I would go easy on judging a lot of Newcastle United fans and residents of the Northeast for seeing a way in which their club and their area could receive regeneration, understanding and attention.
And before Vish comes in, I would say that ironically, and that's when we talk about sports washing, that's
why it's going to work. It's going to work.
What Brass has just defined there, the great positives that we'd all like to see for that area, that, as you say, the area and the club that's been so neglected, that, I'm afraid, is sports washing.
Exactly.
Ironically, making something better doesn't have to be because the aim is to make it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of the the public investment fund, a lot of its remit over the last few years has been toward sport as a way of doing that, as a way of making Saudi Arabia seem more open. So obviously they've had boxing fights over there. They've paid a shitload of money to get Anthony Joshua over there. You've got it in golf as well. Football is a completely different beast. It's, you know, it's very much the crown jewel, as it were. It's that thing of, if you are a Newcastle fan and you've had no interest in this, and you see, for example, those boxing fights in Saudi Arabia becoming more of a place where other sport is hosted, and also to know that your government are involved in various different deals with them or have been involved in the past, and the fact that you live in an area where the perception that you have through experience is that no one really gives a shit about you in terms of infrastructure, in terms of improving your quality of life. And when you are such a one city club, I can totally understand like why you would be excited by that. At the same time, I think, you know, I feel like we're talking a little bit about, you know, some of the stuff that we addressed with the Cristiano Ronaldo thing. I would advise people to read up on a lot of this stuff and understand why there is so much fear, I suppose, and wariness about the deal. And it's not because people want to rain on Newcastle's parade. It's not because the, you know, a couple of people tweeting wildly at journalists are getting them annoyed and that means they want to go. These are the things that kind of do really matter. There was a lot of...
Just as this is affecting your life, this is affecting other people's lives somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it, isn't it?
It's understanding that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. From a... To separate the football bit from a moment, I'm kind of interested to see what happens. You know, we were joking out there about, like, who is the Robinho signing going to be? And we seem to have settled on Coutinho.
Yeah.
I think, look, they need someone to buy him. Football needs someone to buy him.
Do us a favour, Saudi.
It's going to put some Maximustos out of joint.
Yes. Who's going to be the Karadi, the Boyanov?
See, everyone's worried.
I don't want the headliners. I want the ones who fall off on the side.
I mean, maybe Eliakim Mangala can beat Eliakim Mangala.
Yeah.
On the credits.
So it sounds like you're jumping on board.
Eliakim Mangala plays himself.
Yeah, like it.
Well, we now know who's going to be one of the chief consultants. And in fact, congratulations on your move, Brass. What surprising timing.
Brassel and Willock, yeah. Sensing the changing tide. Hold on, we need to get somewhere, yeah.
Amnesty International has urged the Premier League to change its owners and directors' test to address human rights issues amid Saudi Arabian-backed takeover of Newcastle United. The thing, Vish, I think, did you already mention about PIF being deemed to be completely separate from the Saudi Arabian state? But on that note, one of the key factors that was brought up when this was happening a year ago was, of course, the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, and we were just reading.
They provided the planes to transport the
killers to Istanbul and back.
Yeah, nothing to do with them though. All different, all very different.
Just coincidental.
No, yeah.
Correlation is not causation, as we all know.
It's like waving down a bus out there. Very different, you know. We should say as well, though, that the statement from Amnesty International, you know, Jamal Khashoggi's widow has been talking about this a lot. But this is another good example of it's. Even putting that to one side, the way that it just seems to be put across by the Premier League as this kind of issue around, the beIN Sports ban and stuff like that, another good indication of why we do probably need independent regulators for the sport in this country.
Exactly. And that's something that the new body Fair Game are working on at the moment. They've got 32-33 clubs involved, so there is clearly an appetite for things to change and there to be an independent regulator and more transparency and stuff. But yeah, I would, whatever angle you're coming at this from, I would recommend you catch up with some of the work of our friend of the Ramble, Miguel Delaney, who has written a lot of really insightful stuff on this and has met quite a lot of pushback from people who just, well, you don't want my team to do well. sometimes expressed rather more virulently than that. But yeah, read what Miguel's got to say on it. It's worth your time.
And Tariq Panja was where we were reading that stuff as well.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
he
came, yeah. I mean, he's,
yeah, Tariq's excellent as well.
And you know, before people always respond to where were you when City did this, and then they were there. When
so they were working.
Yeah. What about really PSG? Yeah, they were PSG.
Really
did it,
working quite hard on those stories.
Exactly. And what about it? It's always the last word in this, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's the fans' equivalent of, have you ever played the game?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
isn't
it?
Basically.
To which I would answer, have you ever been involved in a Saudi Arabian takeover? Would you have them support? Oh, Wimbledon. That'd be nice, getting a bit of Saudi dollar. I'd have them support my women's five-a-side team.
If you go onto the Azerbaijani government's official Instagram feed, you will see me with my eyebrows raised quite highly at the moment.
Tonight, more Nations League football for you. The other semi-final, the one that everyone has been waiting for. It's just a recap. It's just a lovely recap of the Euros. It's Belgium going up against France. Roberto Martinez's men have a shot at a major trophy. You're going to be covering this extensively in OTC, Russell?
No, because it hasn't happened yet.
Previewing is the word that I was looking for. You're absolutely right.
You time travellers. You think you're so much better than us, don't you?
I really enjoyed last week's one about the 2022 World Cup, by the way. Didn't see that coming. I really didn't see it coming.
You know, the extraordinary thing to me about this that I found really hard to get my head around is the fact that Matteo Guendouzi is in the France squad.
Yes, but that's because N'Golo Kanté I mean, not exactly the same.
Player, now we're getting back into whataboutery again, Kate. I don't want to go back there.
But N'Golo Kanté has got COVID, hasn't he? So we hope he's all right.
He has. We wish him a speedy recovery. There's no suggestion that Guendouzi will be in the 11, but I find it.
There's no suspicion that he did it.
Utterly remarkable. Did you see the little spat between him and Patrick Van Aanholt last week?
Yes, incredible. More. So good.
It was brilliant. So they had a little word during the game when Guendouzi was trying to get a penalty. That wasn't met after a long VAR examination. This was in the Europa League game between Marseille and Galatasaray. And afterwards, after they had a little spat on the pitch, Van Aanholt and Guendouzi, Van Aanholt sent this tweet to him. Run in your mouth after VAR proved you wrong. Little man needs to relax before I snatch that wig off your head.
What?
I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it?
There's beef as well for Guendouzi in his club side, right? He's been grating.
Oh, people love him. What are you talking about? They love him.
Wait, I'm confused.
Love him.
That's his job, though. He is a professional grater.
Yeah, that's true. When he was captain, he confronted his teammate Gerson and asked, "When are you going to start running?" Dimitri Payet had to intervene. I don't see him as the peacemaker, but maybe I've missed
Payet.
Him. Yeah.
No, I think he's just like, stop harshing my mellow. Just everyone just like lower your voice a bit.
Intervened very slowly.
Yeah. But classily, though.
Exactly.
All right, you can get more Andy Brassel and David Cottledge and Dotton later on today. You're going to be talking about Spain in the Nations League, as well as the latest squabbles over in Mbappe and how Gianluigi Donnarumma's move to Paris is working out after struggling for starts in the league. Get over to Football Ramble Presents later today for that.
Yeah, tune in if you want to find if Mbappe's going to sign for Newcastle or not.
You've got the scoop.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah!
Someone tweeted at Alan St. Maximum today saying, "Call up your mate Mbappe and show him our bridges." And I just—he's there looking on. You know, he's got his phone up. He's got the Eiffel Tower next to him and thinks, "Ah, you know what? I like bridges. Do you like bridges?"
What I really want to know, he's texting back, "Do they still have the boat?"
Heard it was really foggy there. Is it still the case?
On tomorrow's show, to answer all of those questions and many, many more, it's Marcus. Oh, it's you guys. It's Marcus, Andy and Vish.
We're not going home.
So today is Newcastle pre-Saudi takeover. And tomorrow is Saudi takeover because they've kept you and I, and we've just replaced Mason with
Marcus. Is going to be doing his Kent Brockman.
Yeah,
I for one welcome our new overlords.
Well, I very much look forward to that. I have to say, lovely to see you, Andy Brassel.
Likewise.
Lovely to see you, Vatishan Hantharaja.
Likewise.
Lovely to see you, dear listeners. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll see you next time.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.